So 1 Timothy 6, and we're going to start in the middle of verse 2, and just go to verse 5, but I'm just going to preach on some phrases in verses 2 and 3, but I'll read a little more for the context. And before we read God's word, let's pray to him and ask him for open eyes and open hearts to receive the truth today. Let's pray. We do give praise to you alone, O Lord, for you deserve our praise. And now as we open your word and hear it taught and proclaimed this morning, we ask for hearts to understand what is spoken, what is read. And we need your Holy Spirit, O Lord, to guide us and help us to understand the truth, to believe the truth, and also put this truth into practice in our daily living. So bless the reading and preaching of your word, O Lord, so that the name of Christ is exalted among us. Amen. All right, so 1 Timothy 6, middle of verse 2 through verse 5. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, "Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain." So again, we'll just look at verses, the end of verse 2 and 3. It says, "Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness," and so on. That's what we'll be looking at today. I don't know if you've ever had your basement flooded, but if you have, you know what it's like. You walk down there and you look around and you're overwhelmed. There are your possessions like literally floating past you. And if you're like me, when you're overwhelmed, you think, where do we even start? It's so overwhelming. Or maybe kind of on a positive context, if you're going to go to Valley Fair or Six Flags or some amusement park like that for the first time and you've never been there before, you just walk in the gates, you look around, and you think, where do we even start? There's so much to do, I don't even know where to begin. It's so great. So we know those feelings and those thoughts of where do we even start? And you know, that's a good question to ask when we think about Christian theology and doctrine. So if you're going to teach someone about Christian theology and Christian doctrine, of course, from Scripture, where do we even start? That in itself is a huge discussion, and I'm not going to get into it, but some say, well, we should start with the teaching of, you know, what Scripture is, we should start with Genesis 1, or we should start with the doctrine of God, and so on. But I'm going to kind of sidestep that question of where do we start this morning by giving an introduction to Christian theology in general. So we're going to look at some of these words that Paul said to Timothy long ago, and we're going to learn this morning that theology is essential in the Christian life. That doctrine, you know, Christian truth, is essential for the church's well-being and being itself. But we're also going to learn this morning that Christian theology and teaching is practical for day-to-day living. So it's essential and practical. Those are two things that we're going to learn today. So first of all, we'll go through the text, especially those phrases in here that talk about Christian doctrine and how practical it is. And then we'll just do some application. And we're going to end with some application on ways that Christian doctrine is practical in life. So that's kind of what we're going to do this morning. So first of all, let's look at the text. In the end of verse 2, of course, we're in the middle of Paul's letter to Timothy, so there's a lot going on. I can't summarize everything. But Paul says here near the end of the letter, in the end of verse 2, "Teach and urge these things." Literally in the Greek, it's these things you must teach and urge, Paul says to Timothy. Now, of course, one question would be, what are these things? And if you answered what's in the context, that's a good answer. What Paul has been talking about in this letter, he's saying to Timothy, teach and urge these things. But also, this word for these things, or this phrase for these things, also, you can just generally summarize this, that Paul is telling Timothy to teach Christian truth. In your ministry, remember, Timothy was a young man, in your ministry, teach the Christian truth. And Paul uses this phrase in 2 Timothy 1. He says to Timothy, "Follow the pattern of sound words that you heard from me. Teach these things." And so it's not a stretch, I would say it's not a stretch, that Paul is telling Timothy here to teach Christian theology and truth. Teach the truth of God. Urge these things. Teach about who God is. Teach about Jesus' death and his resurrection and how he's our Savior. Teach about what grace means. Teach about what it means to be godly. Teach your people about the end times from a biblical perspective. And that word for teach here, it's an imperative. So it's not like Paul is telling Timothy, you got a lot of things to do, and if you get some time, spend a little time teaching. No, but Paul is saying to Timothy, teach. You must explain these things to God's people, help them learn these things, instruct people in the truth. And of course, Jesus was a teacher. It would be a good study to go in the Gospels and learn all the different times that Jesus went around teaching. He was a teacher. He taught the crowds. He taught them the way of God. He taught them that he had to suffer and die and rise again. And remember what Jesus told his disciples before he ascended? Go and teach. Right? Make disciples. Teach all that I have commanded you, he said. So Jesus was a teacher. But even in the Old Testament, we could say that God is a teacher. In Deuteronomy 4, for example, God says through Moses, I believe, listen to the decrees and laws that I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live. Moses was a teacher in the Old Testament. Ezra was a teacher of the law in the Old Testament. So Paul is telling Timothy to take up that mantle of teaching and teach the truth of God. And urge. So teach, Christian truth. And urge Christian truth. What does that mean? Well, again, it's an imperative. You must do this. The NIV has a good translation. It's insist upon or insist on. So teach these Christian doctrines and insist upon them. Urge them on the people. Urge here, the Greek word means something like calling someone to do what must be done. So let's say you're boating on a river that has a fair amount of rapids, and you're going to start your motor again, and it won't start, and you have some other people in the boat. You're going to urge someone to get the oar out. You're going to urge someone else to get you a screwdriver so you can take the cover off the motor. You're going to urge them to do these things. Paul is telling Timothy to teach Christian truth and urge them on people. Insist on these things. So we're going to see in just a moment, and I'll just jump the gun a minute, but it's not just bare teaching. Is it? It's insist upon these things for your living. Urging here has to do with the way of life. Teach the truth and urge people to live in line with the truth. Okay, we'll go on in the text. Now, Paul is saying, if anyone teaches a different doctrine. Now, just pause there for a moment. Paul is saying, some people might teach a different doctrine. It's a heteros didaskale, which means an other teaching. Paul told Timothy to teach the truth, but here Paul says to Timothy, if anyone teaches another teaching, and we'll get into that in a moment, but this different doctrine, actually, if you would read back in chapter 1, Paul wanted Timothy to stay in Ephesus so Timothy could stop certain people from teaching different doctrines. Maybe false teachers like Peter. Remember we were talking about false teachers? Paul does not want false teaching to happen in the church, so Timothy is to not let that happen. And so we know that in the Bible, that especially in the New Testament, there are some people were teaching wrong doctrines, bad ones. I mean, one of the false teachings in the New Testament that you learn about, that of course scriptures condemn, is the teaching of Jesus plus. That you need to believe in Jesus, but you also, plus, you need to be circumcised. Or plus, you need to obey if you want to be saved. And justified. So there are other teachings. So Paul says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine, number one, and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's think about this phrase. The sound words of Jesus. Sound here, of course, doesn't mean a noise, but it means something like healthy or wholesome, solid and dependable. The dependable and solid words of Jesus. Now, Paul uses this term, sound teaching or sound doctrine, four times in his letters to Timothy and four times in his letters to Titus. Because Paul is very concerned about the sound teaching of Jesus, and he wants that teaching to happen in the church. It's truth that Jesus spoke. The words of Jesus are sound words. They're healthy and wholesome words. But it's also truth about Jesus that we proclaim from scriptures, about who he is and what he's done to save sinners. The sound words about Jesus. It's Christian teaching, you could say, is safe and healthy and true and right. It's sound. But Paul is saying here that some people disagree with teaching of Jesus. Of course, the Pharisees in the New Testament times and modern-day Pharisees, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 that the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching. So Paul says to Timothy, teach the truth, but realize that some people will not put up with a sound teaching about Jesus. I was reading a story. I don't know, maybe a couple of you have heard about Shai Lin. He's a Christian hip-hop artist. And before he came to Christ, he was living a very dark life. Drugs and worse, things like that. And he said before he became a Christian, he purposely rejected Christianity. And he had one or two friends who were Christians, and he made fun of them too. He hated Christianity. But after he became a Christian, Shai Lin actually said this, "I realized that it wasn't Christianity I hated. It was Christ himself." And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. There are some people who hate the words of Christ, who hate Jesus and teaching about him. Okay, one more thing that Paul says here. So if anyone, first of all, teaches a different doctrine, second of all, does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus, and third, from verse 3, and the teaching that accords with godliness. So some people also disagree with teaching that accords with godliness. Now think about that phrase. Accords with. We don't usually use this language, but I think you would understand if I would use it in a sentence. I would say, if you and your friend both hate spiders, you would say, her view on spiders accords with my view. It's the same. It conforms with or corresponds to. So here, what Paul is saying, there's teaching that corresponds to godliness. There's truth that goes hand in hand with godly living. And you know what godliness is. It's living a life that has God first, that seeks to trust God and obey him. And some people disagree with that kind of teaching that goes hand in hand with godliness. They don't want to hear Christian teaching about the truth and about living according to the truth. They hate that like they hate Jesus, who is the truth. Paul is telling Timothy that. And so let me paraphrase the flow of this text, then we'll get to application. Paul is saying to Timothy, the person who teaches a different doctrine and doesn't agree with Jesus' teaching and disagrees with the teaching that goes with godliness, verse 4 says that person basically is arrogant and ignorant, proud and foolish. And you can go on and read about how bad this kind of person is who rejects the truths of Christianity. These are bad people who start fights purposely and start conflicts in the church on purpose. So Paul is warning Timothy of these things. Okay, so that's kind of a walk through the text. We kind of got the basic meaning of the text. But one point of application, let's move into application. One thing that we can learn from this text, and of course other scriptures, is that Christian teaching, Christian doctrine, is essential for the church and for the Christian. It's essential for Christian doctrine to be taught in the church to the Christian. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy, teach and urge. When you do your ministry, teach the truths of Jesus. It's an essential aspect of the church's life and the Christian's life. One aspect of the church is that it is an institution where people learn about the truth. There's more to the church than teaching the truth, but certainly teaching the truth is one of the central aspects of the Christian church's role and purpose in the world. Now, last week, in the end of the first or second Peter sermons, I mentioned how there are a lot of anti-intellectual churches today, or we could say there are a lot of churches today and Christians who they just don't teach Christian doctrine. I've said it before, other people before me have said it, but the American church is a mile wide but just 1 inch deep theologically, because the truth is just not taught that often. Many churches will talk about social issues of the day. A lot of churches you can go to, they'll give you therapeutic life hack, life tips, but they won't teach biblical truth. And that's one major reason why many churches are full of error and unbiblical practices. And that's one reason why many churches are full of people who call themselves Christians but don't know two things about Christian doctrine, because the church is failing to teach the truth like Paul told Timothy to do. And so I think you understand that here, and I think that's why most of you are here, is to hear the Christian truth. But we understand that from Scripture, it's an essential part of our Christian and church life. And this is why the Christian church has always had creeds and catechisms to help teach and understand the truth. From the Nicene Creed to the Heidelberg Catechism to the Westminster Standards, the historic church has been concerned about teaching the truth so that we know what to believe and why we believe it. And so we heard professions of faith today, because these young men have grown up, and as they think about this truth of Scripture, they say, yes, I believe in this truth of Scripture. It's an essential part of the church's life. But the other point to make here is that Christian doctrine is practical. Christian teaching, Christian theology, you know, there's a couple ways to say it. But it's practical, and you can see that in the words from Paul to Timothy, and that's one of the reasons I picked this text. Teach and urge. Remember urge? Paul is telling Timothy to preach in such a way that you're telling people how to live their lives based on the truth. It has to do with your living. Urge these things. And sound words, sound teaching, as I already said, they're wholesome words about Jesus that affect our minds and our lives and our hearts and our living. Sound words are words that we can live by, that affect your life every day, because they're wholesome words and healthy words. And, of course, teaching that accords with godliness. That phrase right here in 1 Timothy is very much proof that Christian teaching has to do with godly living and lifestyle. So Christian theology is practical for daily living. And I think that's one thing that I've tried to mention in my sermons. And I hope you've caught that before, maybe not every sermon, but Christian teaching is very relevant for your daily living. It's not just like a Sunday hour of head information where you can go home and forget what you learn and live whatever way you want, but the Christian truth has bearing for our daily living. And good theologians have always recognized this. I was reading an older Reformed theologian from around 1700, Peter van Maastricht. He wrote a huge, I think, four-volume set of theology books, and he started out with a big section on how Christian theology is practical. That's how he started talking. In fact, Van Maastricht said, Christian theology is best defined as the doctrine of living for God through Christ. Christian theology is the doctrine of living for God through Christ. Others have said similar things. So I do realize that it is a problem in some Reformed or Calvinistic or conservative circles that it's all doctrine and no practice. You know what I mean by that? You could maybe go to a Reformed church or whatever Calvinistic good church or whatever and hear a sermon on election. That might be very good theology, but there's no practical aspect to it. There's no application, and you go just with a dry doctrine that the pastor never told you how it impacted your life. But Reformed theology has always been, historically, it's been practical. From the Heidelberg Catechism starts out, what's your only comfort in life and death? You can't get much more practical than that. So let me ask a question then as we, about 10 more minutes or so. What are some ways that Christian theology is practical? So I've just been saying it's essential, you know, from the text here, and it's practical. If we were in a discussion and I would say, okay, write down 5 ways that Christian theology is useful in your daily living or beneficial for you as a person, that's a great question for you to think about. I have some answers. If you have more, I have to limit myself here, but if you have others, I'd love to hear. So I would say that the first reason that Christian doctrine is practical is because it teaches us about God and salvation through his Son, Jesus. And this is what Christ taught in John 17. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So Christian theology is about God. It's about about who we are. It's about Jesus and salvation in him. And so it's very practical because it teaches us about eternal life through faith in Jesus. And that's why the angel told Peter and the apostles in Acts 5, go and speak to the people all the words of this life. It's teaching that gives life, real eternal life through Christ. And that's why we as Christians can say with the psalmist, Psalm 119, the words of God are sweet. The teaching of the faith is sweet. When we hear about God, when we hear about his mercy and his kindness with sinners like us and with his steadfast love towards us, and when we hear about God's grace and about how he gifts eternal life as a gift of mercy, it's sweet music to the sinner's ear. And it's so practical. To paraphrase Proverbs 25, the gospel is like good news from a far country. It's like cold water to a thirsty soul. No other teaching, no other words in the world give eternal life besides the words and the truth of God and of Jesus. And so Christian theology is not true because it's practical. It's practical because it's true. And literally nothing in the world is as practical. So another reason, and that's the first reason, Christian theology is practical because it teaches us about eternal life, you know, through God in Christ. And Christian theology, another reason, it's also practical because it teaches us about ourselves. When you read Scripture, and when we're going to get a brief summary of the doctrine of man, it teaches us the truth about who we are as people in this world here and now. And I've mentioned this before, Blaise Pascal has a good summary of what the Bible teaches about man, that we're great and wretched at the same time. We're great because God has created us in his image. We have intelligence. He's given us a soul and a mind. We have dominion, God said. And because of the way that God made us, people can do amazing things. From inventing treatments for cancer to making planes that can travel a ton faster than the speed of sound, man has done some great things. But we're also wretched. People are also quite sinful. And if you know your own heart, you would say with the Bible that my heart is deceitful above all things. Our minds are darkened. We're foolish and we worship dumb idols that cannot save us. Dumb idols like money and sex. And sometimes we believe lies even when we know they're lies. We're not that smart. We're fallen. We're sinful. And the human race has done many dark and wicked things that would make us weep. So if you know Christian truth, you know these things about yourself. It helps you to truly know yourself. That's what Christian theology does. You are not a senseless animal with base survival instincts, just trying to survive. You are not a worthless, useless collection of skin, bones, and molecules. You have dignity and greatness in some ways, and you are an amazing creature of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, like the psalmist says. At the same time, you know from experience and from Scripture that you're a very imperfect person, that we're full of weaknesses and struggles, and we have a lot of our own sinful things that we have to deal with. So Christian theology teaches the truth about yourself. That's why it's practical. And I don't have time to go into this morning, but I want you guys to think about this. False religions do not tell you the truth about yourself. False religions don't tell you the truth about God. And false religions don't tell you the truth about yourself. So if you reject Christian teaching and Christian truth and turn to any other religion, it's a double disaster. Because you won't know the truth about God, or you won't know the truth about, and you won't know the truth about yourself. And I think that would mean you'd be living a lie, right? Or like Romans 1 said, you'd be one of those people who exchange a truth for a lie. And you're just living in deception, not knowing God or yourself. So the point I'm making is the one that John Calvin opened his institutes with. He said, without true knowledge of God, there is no true knowledge of self. Calvin said, nearly all the true and sound wisdom we can have is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. And we're going to explore that in this sermon series. So those are two main application points here. How is Christian theology relevant for us? Well, it teaches us the truth about God and salvation in Him and through Christ. And it teaches the truth about ourselves. And I don't have time to explore this in detail, but one other thing I just want to briefly say is that Christian theology, when we believe in Christian theology, the truths of Scripture, and live them out, it gives us purpose and meaning in life. Doesn't that follow? If you truly know God through Christ, you truly know who you are from Scripture, then your life has meaning and purpose. You have a solid identity because as a Christian, then you know that you're a child of God. You're an adopted child of God who loves you deeply, that Jesus died for to save and will rescue you from all wickedness. Your life has a definition, child of God. But your life then, if you believe these Christian truths and live them out, your life has purpose and direction. You're not living for yourself, but you're living for the glory of God. You're living to follow Jesus and love others like He called you to do. And even on the worst days of your life, you have a reason to get up in the morning because God has called you to follow Jesus and you have a purpose for living. And so maybe sometimes we're tempted to think, even Christians wrestle with this kind of thought, we're tempted to think, you know what, Christianity is just too heavy. I just want to live my life, and I don't want to worry about God. I don't want to worry about what the Bible says. You know, what's culture's mantra? You do you or you be you. That's what I want. Let me alone. I can find my own purpose and meaning. Thank you very much. Sometimes people think that way, even sometimes Christians when they're wrestling. At first, that doesn't sound horrible. Live for yourself. Just do what you want to do. Live how I want to live, my life. But that is a dead-end street for a lot of reasons. Some of you who have tried that can probably give us a lot more reasons. But one reason why living for yourself is a dead-end street is because most people's view of happiness is very selfish, and it ends up hurting a lot of other people. Most people's view of happiness is selfish, and it hurts a lot of people. Let's pretend you want to live for yourself, so you think, I want to get wasted every weekend at a party because it's so much fun. Well, that hurts the people who love you and care about you. And when you're wasted, either drunk or high, you're almost certainly doing things that hurt other people. Maybe you're saying terrible things. Maybe you're spreading sexually transmitted diseases. It's not good for anyone. It hurts people when you live for yourself. And another reason why living for yourself, and you know, if you reject Christianity and living for God and understanding and believing the truth, another reason why living for yourself is a dead-end street is because most people's view of happiness, almost all people's view of happiness, you know, personally finding their own happiness, leaves them just totally disappointed. Maybe someone thinks if he can get this great job and have tons of money, two of the best cars in the neighborhood, go on the greatest exotic vacations, then I'll be happy and my life will have meaning. But when this guy gets those things, he's not happy. And if they're honest, they'll confess that to you. So trying to make your own happiness or find your own meaning in life is like trying to find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's a fool's errand. Read Ecclesiastes if you want more proof. But Christian theology, knowing God and knowing yourself truly as Scripture teaches, that gives a person meaning and purpose and yes, even true happiness, as we'll see, and as many of you know from experience in life. So those are a couple points of application. So Christian theology is practical, first because it teaches us about God and eternal life in Him. Second, because it teaches us the truth about ourselves. And third, because Christian theology, when we believe it and live it out, it gives us purpose and meaning and direction in life. Now, I just have three more. I'll just state them. I'm not going to mention them more than stating them. Christian theology also helps us defend the truths of Christianity. If you know the truth, you can defend it. knowing Christian theology, believing it, practicing it, also helps us avoid error and false teaching. And Christian doctrine, Christian teaching also gives us understanding, wisdom, joy, hope, and so on. So there are a lot of practical benefits in learning, knowing, believing, and living out Christian theology. That's why I'm calling this sermon series Doctrines for Life. Because Christian theology has everything to do with this life and the life to come. Christian teaching is essential and practical because it teaches us about God and eternal life in Him through Christ. And it teaches us about living a life that's full of meaning and purpose to the glory of God. Let's pray.